From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. The Bush administration's environmental record is causing dissent in an unlikely quarter, Republican hunters and anglers. Many of these people voted for Mr. Bush in the last election, but they say they're alarmed by the administration's drive to increase the number of oil and gas fields in the West, and about other policies they say threaten forest, plains, and wetlands. NPR's Elizabeth Arnold reports that the so-called hook-and-bullet crowd could be as pivotal a constituency as soccer moms in the coming election.
The Tongass National Forest in southeast Alaska, where groves of centuries-old spruce trees still remain, has long been a battleground between national environmental groups and the timber industry. The Bush administration joined that battle recently, exempting the Tongass from the roadless rule, which protects some 58 million acres of public land nationwide. The result? 50 clear-cut operations are ready to roll. Greenpeace is outraged, not a big surprise. But so are nearly 500 gun clubs from across the country, 40 of them based in the president's home state of Texas. Their members signed a petition demanding the forest be left intact. Carl Rozier, an avid hunter and fisherman, signed as well.
What a heck of a boat you got here!
I found Rozier in the Juneau Harbor working on his boat. Proud of his long Republican roots and NRA membership, Rozier once served as Fish and Game Commissioner and president of the statewide sportsman's group, the Outdoor Council. He winces at the word environmentalist, but says public lands are getting squeezed.
You got to draw the line somewhere.
Rozier's lived most of his life in Alaska, much of it in logging communities. Punching in new roads and clear cuts didn't bother him much at the time. Now he says logging what's left of the Tongass goes too far, and he ticks off places he doesn't want to lose.
We were bear hunting down in Port Houghton. It's a great place. You know, there's good Dungeness crabbing in there, and lots of bear, lots of black bears, for God's sakes. And the thought of, and there's some good stands of timber in there on this thing, and of course they're very much being eyeballed. You know, I mean, to think that, you know, that they're going to lay all of that timber down is an out-and-out crime.
Rozier is just one of a growing number of sportsmen who are increasingly concerned about what's happening on public lands. Duck hunters are worried about development of wetlands from South Dakota to Pennsylvania. Antelope and deer hunters are up in arms about coal bed methane drilling in Wyoming and New Mexico. And guides and outfitters are fighting oil and gas development along Montana's Rocky Mountain front. These are not your typical political activists, but to them, every new wellhead or timber sale means a loss of habitat and fish and game.
It's a gut feeling. It's the father who says, I don't have a place to take my son to hunt.
Jim Range, longtime Republican and former aide to James Baker, heads the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership, whose motto is guaranteeing you a place to hunt and fish.
I think access is something that is so appealing to those folks that want to have what they had just a few years ago, that it could very easily be what you're saying, and that is a bit of a rallying point for the entire community.
Sportsmen are fiercely dedicated to the places where they recreate, and their growing concern is the unintended consequence of the president's campaign pledge to, quote, put our public lands to work. That means oil rigs, pipelines, and roads that fracture and erode habitat. Chris Wood of Trout Unlimited, whose membership is 2-to-1 Republican, says sportsmen are becoming a powerful voice for conservation.
You know, this is not a constituency that's overly motivated by people sitting in trees for months, if not years, or, you know, the intergenerational spiritual aspects of environmentalism. I mean, they have a direct and clear connection to the land.
The traditional GOP strategy has been not to worry about the so-called environmental vote, which largely leans Democratic, but to cater at some point in the campaign to moderate suburban women, potential swing voters who tend to get squishy about clean air and clean water. But Wood says this administration has a new problem. It started to disenfranchise a huge voting bloc.
Think about it. There's 50 million Americans who hunt and fish. This is a generally moderate to conservative group, and they're very active in their communities. And, you know, does anyone know the ground better than someone who sits in a duck blind or, you know, hikes into the backcountry to hunt for elk or, you know, into remote roadless landscapes to fish for cutthroat trout? You know, probably not. I mean, this is a potentially very, very powerful constituency.
So much so that Trout Unlimited helped 7 angry sportsmen go to Washington recently to speak out against the administration's energy bill.
Thank you, Dave. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Although visibly uncomfortable at the microphone in the paneled room at the National Press Club, their message was more emotional than any environmentalist could ever get away with. Bob Elderkin, a tall man in a black cowboy hat, is a rancher from Silt, Colorado, a conservative Republican.
These lands are unique. If I had to pick one place and time to spend eternity, it would be at a water hole at sundown in the high, dry country. It don't get any better than that. Thank you.
Republicans have tended to take the support of people like Elderkin for granted because they're gun owners and care deeply about Second Amendment rights. But as Elderkin said, if there isn't anything to shoot, what's the use of having a gun? Elderkin and the rest would just as soon stay home than get involved in Washington politics. But echoing the others, Stoney Burke of Shodo, Montana, said he couldn't sit by and do nothing. He, too, describes himself as a conservative Republican.
I hate to say this, but I'm just about ready to vote for anybody except George Bush because of these policies.
Trout Unlimited's Wood said the potential clout of people like Burke is easily underestimated. But in the midst of polarized debate over what's happening on public lands all across the country, they can be an influential voice.
And I think that people who hunt and fish represent and fill that vacuum right now in the minds of a lot of voters who don't really trust the administration on the environment, and they don't really trust the information they're hearing from the more traditional environmental community, but they probably are willing to listen to the local rod and gun club or the local TU chapter that says, hey, this is a problem. We got to get worked up about this.
From his boat in Juneau, Carl Rozier can see the jagged outline of the trees that make up the nation's largest national forest, and he predicts a backlash when the logging starts here again.
And unfortunately, politics and political figures change with every election on this thing, but the real impacts are felt there, for God's sakes, with the resource itself. And, it takes a long time to recover from some of these things, for God's sake. If at all.
And depending on what course the administration steers the next few months with regard to public lands, those bumper stickers that say another sportsman for Bush may not be quite as visible this November. Elizabeth Arnold, NPR News, Juneau, Alaska.